Praise God. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We're going to take a look at the word of the Lord tonight. As we were praying about tonight, one of the passages of scriptures that God began to speak to me about for this coming year was this psalm. And as I began to read it, it was very interesting to me at the time it was written. If you look at the title of the psalm in your Bible, if you have some kind of study Bible or reference Bible, at the title of this particular psalm, there's a description at what point this psalm was written. And it says here, a psalm of David regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. Who sent him away. King David is here in a, he's actually, just before he writes this psalm, he's in a real mess. He's in a mess of his own making. How many of you at times have made a mess of things? If your hand's not up, you're lying right now and you're a mess right now. And God will deal with you before the night is over. And we'll let him straighten your mess out. But David is in a real mess. He's messed things up. And sometimes we mess things up, and sometimes we find ourselves in a real mess, and it's not a mess of our own making. It's just, you know, because of circumstances of life, because of our timing or situations, we find ourselves maybe in the wrong place at the wrong time. But this was a mess of David's own making. But I'm so excited and I'm so glad tonight that God brought him out of this mess. And he writes this psalm because in the midst of that mess, God came through for him. David, unfortunately, found himself in this place because he acted out of fear. He was afraid of a certain situation and he took matters in his own hands and he went and hid himself among the enemies of God's people. And sometimes as believers, unfortunately, we make bad choices and we begin to look to things that God has forbidden or things that God in his word tells us not to trust in or look to. We begin to look to these things, and as a result, we find ourselves in dire straits. We can find ourselves in a real mess. We can make a real mess of things. But God is faithful even when we mess up. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Jesus is a deliverer. The Lord is a deliverer. And he delivered David in the midst of this mess. And David finds himself among the enemies, and these enemies begin to talk about him. And as they begin to talk about him, all of a sudden David realizes, man, this is not a good place to be. He's in front of this king, Abimelech, Abimelech's officers are right there talking about David. They saying, hey, wasn't there a song sung in Israel? Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And here he is among us. And so they're talking about this. All of a sudden, David, fear begins to grip his heart. He's in fear running from King Saul, and he ends up here. And then he's here now, and he's in fear again. And so he begins to pray. He begins to call on the Lord. And you'll see that as we go through this psalm. But God is faithful. David, to try and get himself out of this mess, you know what he does? He acts crazy. He begins to claw away at the doors of the gate. He begins to claw like an animal at the doors of the gate, and he begins to let drool just fall out of his mouth and run down his beard, and he starts acting crazy to try and get himself out of this mess. But God was faithful, and God protected him, and he managed to escape this mess that he found himself in. But it's interesting to me that when David writes this psalm, after he writes the psalm, after he gets out of this mess, God does an incredible thing, because it's at this point he goes to the cave. And when he goes to the cave, God begins to gather around this man, men who were discontented, men who had issues, men who had all kinds of problems like him. And out of this band of 400 men, God raises up an incredible army of mighty men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is going to do that here tonight. I believe that's what God has been doing from the very inception of this gate ministry, this youth ministry. God has been raising up an army of mighty men and women for his own purposes. But I want to begin by taking a look at this psalm, and we're going to read through the psalm, and we're going to begin to talk about it a little bit as we go along, as we wrap up this evening. And then we're going to take some time when we're done, and we're going to begin to pray for one another. We're going to pray for ourselves and for one another. The psalmist David writes this. He says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. How many times? How many times? All times. He said, I'm going to bless the Lord when I'm having a good day, and I'm going to bless the Lord when I'm having a bad day. I'm going to bless the Lord when I feel like it, and I'm going to bless the Lord when I don't. You know why? Because God hasn't changed. He is still faithful. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what situation I find myself in, the world around me may change, but God never changes. Hallelujah. And I can count on him. I can count on him. The psalmist goes on to say, I will constantly speak his praises. I'm not going to boast in myself. You know, as a matter of fact, he says, some may boast in chariots and some in horses. He said, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. He said, some folks may boast in this, some boast in that, but folks, I'm going to boast in Jesus. I'm going to boast in God. Hallelujah. He says here, I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless, are you helpless tonight? Let all who are helpless, let all who are humble, let all who are afflicted take heart. Be encouraged. If you find yourself in a mess, if your life is a mess tonight, if you've got all kinds of drama taking place at home or in your life, the psalmist David says, he says, take heart tonight. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And he's going to tell us why you and I should be encouraged tonight. He says, come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us magnify, come, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You know, sometimes when you're going through stuff, the enemy will try and isolate you. He'll say, stay home. You don't want to go to the gate tonight. You feel tired. You feel tired. Aren't you tired? You're sleepy. You had a rough week. Oh, man. You should stay home. You know what he does to me? He'll say, oh, it's snowing outside. It's cold out there. Or sometimes I'm sitting and I'm, you know, contemplating or debating, and he'll just come and he'll put his hand on my head and he'll go, rest now. He'll go, sleep, sleep, sleep. Some of you laugh it because you know what I'm talking about. But the psalmist said, he said, come, let us magnify, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Somebody say together. Together. No, say together. Let us exalt his name together. That's what this youth ministry is all about, folks. We are together in the house of God. We're not alone. And the moment you think you're alone, God will say to you, no, you're not alone. There are 6,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal, like he said to Elijah the prophet when he was discouraged. He said, there are others. I've got an army marching through the land. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He goes on to say, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. The word prayed here means I sought the Lord. I inquired of the Lord. It means to come to God out of necessity and on the authority of his word. Do you know it's important that you don't just pray, but that you claim the word of God? That you remind yourself of the promises of God? And even as we go through this passage of scripture tonight, you're going to see incredible promises that God made and fulfilled in the life of his servant. And these promises are to you and I in this day and age. He said, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. And he freed me from all my fears. Somebody say all. All my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. He is a deliverer from fear tonight. In a moment, in a time of uncertainty, when you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from, when you don't know where your rent money is coming from, when you don't know where your car fare is coming from, when you don't know where your tuition is coming from. Can I get an amen, somebody? The psalmist says, he delivers from all fear. He delivers me from fear. Let's go on. He says, those in verse 5 who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. In other words, their face is going to shine with joy. Their face is going to shine with joy. Folks are going to see that their faces are glowing or shining because there is a joy in them that's supernatural. He says, no shadow of shame will darken their faces. This shadow of shame speaks of a blushing. He says, no, you will never blush for shame. Those who trust in God will never be put to shame. Hallelujah. It also means being confused, that God will cause you, he'll bring you out of any form of confusion. When you're frustrated, when you don't know what to do, when you begin to call on him, when you look to him for help, you will be radiant with joy and no shadow of shame will darken their faces. He said, in my desperation, I prayed and the Lord listened. Hallelujah. The word desperation here speaks of poverty. It speaks of being poor. You know, like the Beatitude says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. When you acknowledge before God that you need him, the Bible says that God makes all of heaven's resources completely available to you. Folks, what a deal. God opens his pantry. He opens his cupboard and he says, it's yours. Whatever you need is yours. It's yours. All of heaven's resources are yours. The Bible says he owns everything. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. Hallelujah. All of heaven's resources are yours. He said, in my desperation, I prayed and the Lord listened and saved me from all my troubles. Somebody say all. All my troubles. Folks, we face trouble in this life. We face all kinds of trouble, all types of difficulty. If you look at verse 19, it says, the righteous person faces many troubles. Many troubles. We face difficult times. Times of trial, times of suffering. We face times of testing, times of persecution. Are you with me tonight? We face all types of trials, temptations. We face all types of difficulties. The psalmist recognized that. You and I are not exempt. We face things. We will face trials and difficulties just like everybody else. But guess what? We're not like everybody else. You know why? Because our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Come on, we sang it tonight. Are those just words? Are those just words? Do you believe it tonight? All types of troubles you and I will face. He says here, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. He comes to the rescue each and every time. God comes and he delivers us. But he delivers us when his purpose is accomplished. Not in our timing, in his timing. When his purpose is accomplished. Do you know 24/7, 365, we are in the potter's house and we are on the potter's wheel? He said, I am the potter and you are the clay. You and I are in his hands. There's never one moment, never one point where we escape his gaze. And he is constantly working in our lives. And he will come, and he comes to deliver us. He's determined to deliver us. And he will deliver us supernaturally through supernatural intervention. God will come through in this life through supernatural intervention. Or there are times where God will allow us to go through stuff, and our deliverance will come, but it'll come in our death. in a victorious death, when we go out singing and praising and shouting and giving glory to him, so that those around us, like those who are martyred and have gone before us, like the early church fathers, even some of the disciples like Thomas and Peter and others who have gone through persecution. We have folks who are going through persecution right now. We've got folks going through persecution in Muslim countries and Hindu nations. I think of Indonesia and others where it's against the law to talk about Christ, to talk to other people about Christ, where they can arrest you. But yet these folks will go through these things, and in a victorious death, they will bring glory and honor and praise to God. I think of Columbine. How many of you remember Columbine? Raise your hand. Shooting. There's this testimony story of a young girl who was there on campus and who that day died. And she was asked to recant her faith, to deny her faith, and she didn't. And she gave glory to God. And even today, there's a book written called Jesus Freaks. And it talks about martyrs that have gone before us and that have died for their faith. And she's in that book. She's in that book for all the generations to come to read her testimony of how she stood for God. And that was here in America, folks. There may come a day, not too long from now, where it won't be popular to stand for Christ. But God promises to give you and I the grace to bring glory and honor and praise to his name. Come on, give him thanks tonight. Verse 7 says, "For the angel of the Lord is a guard, and he surrounds and defends all who fear him." You know, there are times where God will come through a supernatural deliverance, through a supernatural intervention. I think of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "Angels are only servants, spirits. They're servants, spirits sent to care for the people, for people who will inherit salvation." That's you and I. Those who place their faith in Christ, angels are sent to guard over us, to watch over us, to protect us, to keep us. Hallelujah. He says, "The angels of the Lord surround us and they defend all who fear him." The word fear here speaks of reverence and those who worship him in awe. There's an incredible story in 2 Kings chapter 6 about a king, about the prophet Elisha and his servant who's with him. And Elisha and his servant are in this house, and the morning comes, and Elisha's servant goes to the door, and when he looks outside the door, he sees an army, the army of the Arameans that have surrounded the place. And he is scared to death, and he comes in fear to Elisha the prophet. And he says, "Elisha, we're surrounded." And Elisha says to him, "Don't be afraid. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them." And so he begins to pray for him, and he says, "Lord, open his eyes." And all of a sudden, the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw the armies of heaven had surrounded the other armies with chariots of fire, angels. Folks, one angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 men. One angel. Do you know who's rolling with you? Somebody say, "Yeah." When you're in the subway, when you're going home on the bus, when you're in school, when you're at work, and people are plotting against you, do you know who is with you? If God be for us, somebody help me tonight. Who can be against us? He sends his angels to encamp around us. Verse 8, which is our memory verse. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him, who trust in him. Fear the Lord, you godly people, for those who fear him will have all that they need. Do you know he supplies all that we need? That's another incredible promise. He says, even strong lions sometimes go hungry. He said, but those who trust in the Lord, in other words, those who inquire of the Lord, those who claim the promises of God, those who come to him on the authority of his word, he says, those will not lack any good thing. Anything that is beneficial, you won't lack. He says, come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. He said, does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Do you know he gives abundant life? Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Notice the contrast, but I give life. And it's an abundant life. It's real life. He says, then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. He says, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. He says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. That's something else that he does. He hears our prayers like he's heard us tonight as we've been praying to him. Verse 17 says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. There it is again. When we face trouble, he rescues us. Verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, to those who are contrite in heart. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. You know what this speaks of? Those who are repentant, those who are tired of living in sin, those who are crushed by the sorrow, by a sorrow for their sin. In other words, they're truly broken for their lifestyles. They're tired of living in sin. They're tired of going at this on their own. They're tired of making a mess of things. And they're willing to come before God and acknowledge it and say, God, I've made a mess of things. I've made a mess of things. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life. You have a greater plan. You have a higher plan for me. You created me in your image with an incredible plan, but I have squandered my life trying to go at this on my own, doing things my own way. God, would you help me? The psalmist said, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. In other words, he comes with his presence, and he begins to comfort us. That's another incredible promise. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Hallelujah. These are incredible promises given to you and I by God himself. And these promises become a reality in our lives by faith. Do you know in the Old Testament, in order for you and I to experience the blessing of God, to inherit these promises, we would have had to have been obedient to God and had kept the commandments of God and lived for God in our own strength or tried to live for God in our own strength and do the right thing. But we couldn't do it. That's the Old Testament. That's why there's a New Testament, a new covenant. Christ came and he did it for us. And you know how we come into the blessing of God now? Simply by faith. By believing what he said he would do. And when we believe it, God comes and he makes it a reality, a living reality in our life. He begins to speak just like he did. Let there be light, and there was light. Just like he did in Genesis, and everything that was not there all of a sudden comes into existence. God will take nothing, and out of nothing, God will make something. Only God can do that. You know, in science, they say matter cannot neither be created or destroyed. God created matter. And he still creates something out of nothing. Your life tonight may seem like nothing, but God can make something out of it. God can make something out of it. If you will give him your confidence, if you will entrust your mess to him, he comes. The scripture says, those that come to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We heard the incredible promises tonight, but God will come to you and I, and he will make these things a reality in us. He will do a work in us and through us. I'm reminded of the Spirit of the Lord that came on David, who wrote this psalm. The Bible says when Samuel the prophet anointed and prayed for him, the Spirit of the Lord came on him from that day forward, and David was able to do the impossible. The impossible became possible because the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And so he was able to seek God, like we read here. He was able to keep his tongue from speaking evil. He was able to, like it says here, keep his lips from telling lies. Why? Because God was the one empowering him, strengthening him, conducting his life, turning his life. He said in verse 14, turn away from evil and do good. He was able to do that. How? To do the right thing. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord was on him. He was depending on God daily. God enabled him to be set apart for his purposes and for his plan. And that is God's design for you and I in 2011, that we would be set apart for him, that we would be used for his glory. Hallelujah. What happens to those who reject God, those who choose to live a life of rebellion to him? It gives us the answer in verse 16. It says, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil, and he will erase their memory from the earth. He will erase their memory from the earth. He fights against those who do evil. The Bible says God opposes, he resists the proud, but he helps the humble. Those who acknowledge their need of him, he helps them. Verse 21 says, calamity will surely overtake the wicked. In other words, those who aren't living for God. He says, calamity will surely overtake you. Those who hate the righteous, those who hate Christians or believers, will be punished. He says, but the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned tonight. Folks, I'm going with God. I'm going with God. If you're here tonight and you say, I'm going with God, I want you to get out of your seat. I don't care how many tonight, how few. I want you to get out of your seat, and I want you to get to this altar, and we're going to dedicate 2011 to Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet right now. And you get out of your seat and you come to this altar. You come to this altar right now. We're going to start this year off right. There are some here tonight, you've not responded to God in years. You've not responded to an altar call in years. You've not responded to him in years. And you need tonight to respond to him. To respond to him. And at this altar, we're going to pray tonight for one another. We're going to pray, we're going to cry out to God, and we're going to believe God to do the miraculous in 2011.